Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. When I was younger, I drew butterflies, and I drew butterflies with a little worm, a caterpillar, right, as the body, and then wings on the sides. Makes perfect sense when you're a kid, anyway, at least. And I was pretty sure that a caterpillar spun a cocoon, went into the cocoon, and grew some wings, and emerged as a butterfly. Now, it turns out that pretty much nothing about the sentence I just said is true. The only part that's true is that the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Like, the butterfly was once a caterpillar. The caterpillar part is the only part I was right about. So, first of all, because we are going to pretty loosely, interchangeably use these terms, let's be clear that caterpillars don't spin cocoons. Moths spin cocoons. Caterpillars do not. And moths spin cocoons. They do. They create the silken thread sometimes, and sometimes they gather materials from their environment around them to create this safe outer layer. And it's an outer layer that they create from stuff outside themselves, or that they create, the silk, and they spin it, and then the metamorphosis happens inside the cocoon. That's a cocoon, moth. A caterpillar, with very few exceptions, a caterpillar sheds its last caterpillar skin, and underneath that is a layer of protein that is part of the caterpillar's body itself. It has grown as part of its body, and this protein layer hardens, and that becomes not a cocoon, a chrysalis. A chrysalis. And then in the chrysalis, the butterfly is transformed into a caterpillar. And I'm going to say more about that in a minute. So we have cocoons or chrysalis. We have the cocoon and we have the chrysalis. They are different things. The really interesting thing is that while the transformation is happening inside them, these are different ways of protecting that transformative state, because it is very vulnerable, this transformation, this change. Now, we know that butterflies have long been a symbol of the transformation and resurrection of Jesus and of the transformation and resurrected life of God's people. Not just in the Christian faith either, in lots of faiths and lots of traditions, the butterfly is this symbol of transformation and rebirth. Even before we understood all the neat scientific things that are happening within this transformation. It's a little bit of an Earth Day sermon here, because I can get a little bit geeky about butterflies and moths and the transformation that's happening, because it gets really neat. And it turns out that the metaphor, the more we understand about it, using science and all kinds of learning, the more we understand about this metaphor, the more I think it speaks to the kind of transformation that God works in our lives. That's the really exciting thing, because you see, we don't just grow wings. At some point in my life, I must have realized, I mean, I must have on some level recognized and understood that the butterfly's body, the part that's not wings, is an insect's body, you know, with like the head and the thorax and the abdomen. It doesn't have the little stubby legs that a caterpillar has, but these long, graceful legs. It doesn't have the short little antennae that the caterpillar has, but these long, graceful antennae. And it's a different body. It's not just a caterpillar that grew wings. But it wasn't until I was preparing a sermon on this topic, not this year, but I've only been preparing sermons for 13 years. So sometime in the last decade and a half, when I was preparing a sermon about a butterfly, that I actually internalized that knowledge and realized, whoa, that creature there with the wings and the spindly legs and the bug body did not just grow wings. It's not a caterpillar that just grew wings. What happened? This is a totally different creature. It's completely different. Well, but it's not completely different, because they've done some studies about butterflies and caterpillars where they've taught a caterpillar a puzzle. They've given it a puzzle and taught it a solution. Not quite sure how you do that, but, you know, caterpillar-sized puzzle about where to find a leaf or something like that, right? You know, as they do with animals, and they've done these experiments with a caterpillar, and the caterpillar learns the solution to a puzzle. And then they give the same puzzle to the butterfly, and it remembers the solution that it learned as a caterpillar. It's an entirely different creature, but it remembers from its life as a caterpillar. But it looks totally different. When we are talking about transformative life, we remember who we were. We remember what we've been through, but we might be totally different on the other side. And this transformation happens inside the chrysalis, or cocoon if we're a moth. You don't have to be the prettiest or the most famous example of transformation to still testify to God's transformation in your life. Amen? Some of us are butterflies, some of us are moths. It's okay. Some of us spin cocoons, some of us shed our skin and reveal our protein shells that are the chrysalis. Sometimes when we need to undergo transformation in our lives, we wrap ourselves in the stuff around us to protect us, the things that will hide us and keep us safe so that that deep inner work can happen. And sometimes it's like we're broken open, but the hardness inside us, that hardness that we keep and that we push out to protect ourselves so that we don't hurt, so that we don't have to feel vulnerable, that hard layer is what the world sees while deep inner work is happening. The more we understand about these amazing creatures, the better they preach. And in that dark secret space is where transformation happens. And it happens in all kinds of dark spaces, like wombs and tombs and cocoons. See, cocoons just sounds better there. Wombs and tombs and cocoons. Oh my. Oh my, indeed, because their transformation is happening. So we hear again the angel telling Mary, you are going to conceive, I know that seems impossible, and bear a son who is going to be God's own presence on earth. This is a terrifying thing. And the angel says, be not afraid. Well, that's easy for you to say. But this transformation that's going to happen in her and through her is an amazing, scientifically interesting, but also spiritually amazing transformation that's happening in her and for the world in the dark and safe space of a womb. God transforms the world again in a tomb. What terrible, frightening transformation takes place there? Death and life itself. In the darkness, in the sealed off space of the tomb. When Jesus emerges from the tomb and goes to meet the disciples, they've closed themselves in a room that is to protect them. They have taken the stuff of the world around them and wrapped it about themselves so that they are protected. They don't want to change. You see, we think if we can keep ourselves safe, that we won't have to change and be transformed. And the irony is that probably if we've locked ourselves in a dark, safe space, that that's where God's going to find us and transform us. Jesus just appears in the midst of that room and starts working transformation in them. It doesn't take right away, because a week later, they're right back in that same room. Caterpillar stays inside its chrysalis for 10 days, roughly. Takes some time to do transformation. And out of fear, they are locked there, but transformation is happening so that when Jesus sends them out from that room, from that tomb, they are totally new. They are his agents of forgiveness and peace in the world. It's remarkable. It's almost unrecognizable. So what happens inside the chrysalis? And here's the part that's really kind of gross and beautiful. which is like the perfect description of science and nature, gross and beautiful at the same time. Inside that chrysalis, every cell of the caterpillar's body breaks down to liquid or near liquid. It creates caterpillar soup, some sort of primordial ooze of caterpillar stuff. And in this liquid state, this soupy state, the caterpillar is neither caterpillar nor butterfly. And yet, of course, it is both caterpillar and butterfly. And then nobody can explain exactly how this happens, but the cells reorder and reorganize themselves. See what I did there? The cells reorder themselves. They reorganize themselves and they create butterfly out of this caterpillar soup of goo. This is how transformation happens. Every cell of the body of what was breaks down to nothing, which is also everything. And then, only then, can the caterpillar be reformed into a butterfly. The more we know about this remarkable transformation, the better it preaches. This is scary stuff. This is why the disciples are huddled in a room together with the door closed and locked from the inside. This is why the angel has to say to Mary over and over again, "Don't be afraid." This is why Jesus says from his own cross facing the tomb, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because what's about to happen is scary stuff. Transformation means every bit of who we are is broken down to our most basic level, where we are neither who we have been nor who we will be, and yet we are both who we have been and who we will be. We are nothing in God's hands. We are primordial ooze, and yet we are everything that God is going to make out of us. Somewhere in that Becca soup is what God is calling me to be. The more we know about what's going on with butterflies and moths, the more it preaches. And the more we know about the transformative nature of the Christian life, the more it really should terrify us. Because you see, we think we make ourselves safe and immune either by gathering the stuff of the world around us to protect us or by letting out into our outermost layer the hardness that we hold so that we are impermeable to change, to vulnerability, to being hurt. But it turns out that the safest that we think we are, no matter where that is, no matter how that is, that's where Jesus is going to meet us and say, "Okay, great. Peace be with you. And now, receive my spirit and go and do. Be changed. Every last fiber of your being be changed." And the bad news for us is that unlike moths and caterpillars who make this tremendous transformation one time in their lives, we can enter a cocoon or a chrysalis over and over and over again and be broken down to our most basic, fundamental stuff and rebuilt, reformed by God into what we will be, so that when we are ready to emerge, we are a wholly different creature. Same memories, same stuff somehow of who we have been, but totally reorganized into what God calls us to be. This is what we pray when we ask God to remake us. When we ask God to change my heart, O God, when we ask God to make me your instrument, your disciple, your servant, we are saying, "God, break me down cell by cell by cell until I am nothing and I am everything in your hands, and then reform me, remold me so that I can be your creature of peace, of faith, of hope in the world." Are we ready? Are we really ready to pray that prayer? Have you seen the way a caterpillar enters its chrysalis? It makes itself just a little anchor, and it ties its back legs to a branch. And then it throws itself headfirst into nothingness, shedding its skin upward and away from its body, and trusting in that nothingness that God, that nature, that instinct will make everything out of it. Are we ready to trust fall into God's nothingness in this chrysalis? When we pray, melt me down to that elemental stuff that is everything and nothing. Mold me into the new creature that you are shaping me to be. Fill me with your peace, with your spirit, and use me. Are we ready for God to work that transformation in us? I invite you to remain seated and to sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Are we ready to mean it when we ask God to melt and mold us in this way? We'll sing it through two times.